Out of Time on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais. With me is Steve Merchant and Carl Pilkington. I really like that Blur track. I think it's the best thing they've ever done.
Blimey.
So.
Strong words.
They can quote me on that if they want.
Yes. I'm sure they'll rush to.
On their, you know, posters. One of their albums.
Yeah.
If they wanted. Well, listen. You're lucky I'm here, Steve.
Okay.
Right? You can see, you know something's happened. I've done my back in again.
Right.
I've got a special chair in here. I'm in agony.
Yeah.
And I'm on the strongest painkillers I can get.
Right? Okay.
I feel a bit. Right. Carl, I had to call Carl up today and say, look, I don't know if I can make it in. Can you come and get me? He came over to my house. We got in a cab and he got me here. Right. While he was round my house, Jane showed him, sort of camcorder footage of how I actually did it.
Of how you hurt your back.
And, I wanted Carl to tell you, because I was actually worried that if I didn't turn up, what you'd say to me.
Yes.
What was I doing, Carl?
Right, so, I get round to his place, right? Says, right, it play on the video, right? Have you ever seen a gorilla having a fight?
I think I have, yeah, yeah.
It's like that. Him and his mate round at his place last night, decided to sort of have a bit of a wrestle.
Yes.
It went on, I mean, how much footage?
Honestly, it was like a scene from Women in Love.
Yeah.
We'd had about 5 fights. We had to stop at one point because his arm was bleeding.
You'd had about 5 fights?
Yeah, well, we were wrestling. We were doing wrestling, right, in the, just behind
what, in
the
lounge?
Yeah. Well, we on our knees and then sort of like, you know, and I kept winning with an arm lock. Right?
Yeah.
And then the last time he sort of threw me and I went on my back and my back was done. And I was, you know, it was Ian Morris.
Yes.
It was, you know.
Yes. No, isn't he the commissioning editor of comedy at Channel 4?
Yeah. And the funny thing was that we'd had lots and lots of wine and we weren't.
You surprised me.
Yeah, right. And we went, come on. I could film this. And the time we filmed, I said, film this. And Jamie, oh, right. And I took my shirt off. It's right there. And it's, you can just hear slapping.
Oh, why? Can I just ask though? I mean, it's a Friday night, you know, you had a couple of drinks, you know, some intellectual conversation.
Yeah.
How does it get round to, do you fancy wrestling me?
Well, I'm
having it filmed?
Well, it was on the couch, but I kept sticking my socks in his face to annoy
him.
Sure. Right?
Yeah.
And then he hit me on the shin, and I got sharp shins, and it hurt. And I was going, I'm going to smack your face and he's done kickboxing. And it's that thing, like, you sort of joke and they go, come on then.
Yeah.
And you start, have you ever seen the thing when Jack Osborne fights that skater dude?
No.
On the Osbournes? I was very much the Jack Osborne figure.
Right, yeah, the fat bloated guy just came out of rehab.
I'll tell you what it was like, Steve. Have you ever seen, like, the David Attenborough stuff? Where, like, a tiger will be ripping a deer's head off, and you think, why doesn't the camera crew stop it?
Yeah,
you sort of watch, you thinking, why was Jane
why
just
is
letting
she not
this
stepping in and intervening? Yeah.
And the thing is, she said, right, you've seen enough, haven't you, and stopped it, so I don't know how much footage you've got.
It wasn't much.
But can I, because your lounge is not huge, and there's not much space between the back of the sofa and the table.
It doesn't need enough, it was just a pin or a submission, so it was just, it was all over with, like, one of us throwing the other one on the back.
And how does it, I mean, how do you start with the wrestling match? Are you both stood up or you're
no, on your knees and you sort of like go together like ratting steels?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Like a giant walrus.
It's not gay. Play a record.
Could we put that online? Could we get that on the web? That I would love to see.
Better Rod Stewart?
Yeah. Stewart May.
Indeed. You need to say no more. If people don't know what it is from that, that information, forget them.
Gervais Merchant Pilk.
Exactly.
All right?
Exactly. Rick, I was out last night in the Crouch End area, and I passed things upset me like this. It was a restaurant. It was a little French restaurant.
Yeah.
But you barely noticed it. You walked past, it was like a row of houses, and a little French restaurant there, open. It was kind of summery.
Bistro.
No one in there, Rick. It was
about
10 to 10. I'm thinking, if no one's in there at 10 to 10 on a Friday evening, it's doomed. And it really upset me. It genuinely upset me, because I always think about the little French guy in there. You know, he's put all his money into that. He's convinced his wife to do it.
Yeah.
You know, she's not convinced, but she's a great cook.
Eve.
Exactly. And it's already going down the pan.
Do you know why? You don't want French food in a hot summer's night. You want Mexican food.
Well, indeed. Some kind of tapas.
Exactly.
But then I was, because we were just discussing other things that upset us. And, like, glimpsed
of war.
Well, true, obviously war. I mean, obviously I started with war,
famine,
disease, SARS, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then it came down the list to, worried about people who manufacture fax machines.
Why? Because of technology?
Well,
moving on.
I mean, if you want to, say you're making fax machines, you're a little company, you make fax machines.
A little what?
A little company.
Oh, right.
You're making fax machines. Are you allowed to use email?
What, like, if you work for Coke, you're not allowed to drink Pepsi
exactly.
publicly?
It just seems like I'm assuming the fax machine sales are plummeting.
Now, the thing is, right, is it? Now, I haven't got a fax machine, you're right, I've got email, but I much prefer a fax.
Well, yeah,
because you get it, it comes out the other side.
Yeah, but-
you know what I mean? It is what they've sent, that's what's great about a fax.
But you can print off your email, can't you, and then you've got it in hard copy.
Wow, it's sort of instant. But, you know, I don't look at the emails, a fax comes out, it's there, it goes, it's like someone putting a little post-it around your face. Do you know what I mean? You go, oh yeah, I'll read that.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
Email, you got email.
But what worries me is whether fax. I'm assuming fax machines are just. I mean, I don't know if there's anyone listening who works maybe for a fax machine.
0870 800 1234. If you're in the fax industry, give us a call. Tell us, you know, what sort of figures.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly. Yeah.
We want to go down 17%, something like that.
Something like that. Those kind
in
of stats.
In the southwest.
Exactly. Those are the kind of stats.
But have you got fax machines yet in the north, Carl?
Yeah.
I mean, you're loving it, aren't you?
I like getting letters.
Well, no one says letters anymore, do they?
You like getting a scroll from a man on a horse.
Yeah.
Saying you're-
When do you get letters?
Just, my mum still sends me the odd letter.
Sure.
Even though I call, she likes sitting down at a table and-
Yeah. You know, so what, you call and ask the questions, there's no reply, and then you get a letter a day later going, question one, yes, I am well.
Yeah.
Question two, yes, your father's well.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nice though, isn't it?
Yeah, letter's nice.
It's nice to receive a letter, yeah. It's always nice to receive a letter.
Particularly if, like, you know, you're on a sort of expedition.
But,
what
does annoy me, though, you were looking at them the other day, you know, you were talking about the pictures on them, postcards.
Yes.
Don't like them.
You don't like postcards?
No, they annoy me. And just because it's never anything of any interest, and the fact that, even though it's been sent to you, you're the last one to read it.
Whenever I used to send my mum a postcard, every time I send it on, I'd horrify her by putting on it, having a lovely time, does that pig of a postman still read all your letters? And she'd just be horrified, just be terrified he'd looked at it or something.
This is what worries me. I've always assumed that people would read a postcard. If I was a postman, I would definitely read every single postcard.
Yeah.
So if you're on holiday, you know.
What do you mean? You wouldn't have a lot of time left if you read every postcard.
No, but as you're posting it through the letterbox, you'd have a quick look, wouldn't you, to see what they were up to. Because that's why I never used to write anything of any interest on a postcard, because I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want anyone to sort of know what I was up to. Let's say I was on a bawdy lad's holiday,
I would just write
sun, you know, nice sunny, you know, got myself a lovely pair of shorts.
Yeah.
Like that. You know, I'd keep the truth, Rick, for when I got home.
Well, he's looking forward to going on holiday now, Carl, because he's got some prescription lens sunglasses. We'll be talking about that after the break.
Bit of darkness.
Look forward to that.
Yeah. An amusing story about a man wearing glasses. The darkness growing on me. It certainly is. And that's FM 104.9. Love those boys. Keep the guitar riffs up, lads. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant.
Oh, it's good to see that your back pain has not impaired your DJing abilities.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm a professional. I'm a professional.
You've soldiered on.
Yeah. Put the glasses on for Carl.
Well, you know, because I wear glasses normally, I've always had problems with glasses. The thing about glasses is it stops you from doing so many things, and you may not realise if you're a non-glasses wearer, certain things that you can never do. If you're, like, for instance, I have never been able to
volleyball.
Go into the mosh pit at a gig
and
get carried above everyone. You know, when they carry you above everyone on their hands. Because I knew someone would just
grab
my glasses.
But you don't need to, you can see from the back. That's a good thing about you at a concert. You can actually stand at the back and look over.
Being able to at least jump on the stage and do a stage dive and all the rest of it. So that's one of the things I've missed out on. Missed out on, you know, sport really, because lots of, boxing for instance, I could never do. I never do boxing, never do wrestling. So our big championship showdown is not going to happen.
We'd probably be the same weight category.
Well, possibly.
In your reach.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when I first got glasses, I only had to wear them occasionally. It meant I couldn't see things a long way away. And obviously I got them, but I was at school and I was a bit self-conscious, didn't want to really tell anyone I had glasses. I didn't reveal to anyone I was wearing them. So I used to go into a class, I remember being in science, and we always sat in the same spot, and I was sat right at the back, and I couldn't see what was on the blackboard. But I didn't want to put my glasses on because I didn't want people to know I had glasses. So I couldn't see what was being written on the board. And you have to copy stuff down from the board, science equations, things like that. I had no idea. So I'd have to try and copy off someone next to me, but that wasn't always possible because I had to do it surreptitiously. So what I took to doing was sharpening my pencil every sort of 35 seconds.
Going up to the...
Going up, memorising what was on the board. And I got a D in science.
Oh, that's so awful, that's though.
It's a big, it's a tough thing, glasses. So it really is. When you first start wearing it, if you're young.
It was education versus vanity.
Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it?
And now he thinks, well, hold on. He's sorted out his hair. You can see he's
quite stylish.
Stylish hair. Because when I met him, it was like, I mean, words were gummage. Yeah. He won't mind me saying that.
Yeah.
His glasses were, I mean, idiotic when I met him, and he's got some stylish glasses now, so he sorted that out.
Yeah.
His clothes, he's quite a fashionable bloke, and when I first met him, it looked like
a nerd.
Yeah. So, it's step by step, and with these on, I think you'll agree. Pop them on, Steve.
Well, you know, I don't-
Imagine him in the, on the beach.
Close right? Your eyes, Carl. Are they closed? I can't see, yeah. I've taken my glasses off.
Well, yeah. See, that's a weird thing as well, isn't it?
Yeah. There you go. What are you laughing at? Look, what are you laughing at, Carl? There's nothing funny about those.
Stop smirking. I can see through them.
You can see they're not real sunglasses, they're prescription lenses, so we can see you now.
You see, I never knew you had to do that with sunglasses. I didn't think you had to have the-
Right, yeah, when it's bright outside, people who wear glasses don't need to wear them.
So they're looking cool, but they're bumping into yeah. stuff.
No, but if your eyes aren't that good, then the sun shouldn't be bothering them. Do you know? No, I always wondered about Roy Orbison. Why was he doing that?
What?
Roy Orbison always had shades on, didn't he? And he was blind and stuff. It's like, what's the point of that?
Well, because I don't know.
What are you talking about?
It's
Roy Orbison was blind, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Was he? I thought he just had very, very bad vision.
No, I think he was a blind fellow, wasn't
he? I don't think he was blind.
Was he not?
No, I think he had very poor vision.
Wear him, you know.
I don't know what this conversation is anymore.
No, well, once again, we've introduced Carl into the equation and he's just gone off on a completely bizarre tangent.
When I went, he went, oh, I'm gonna pick up my prescription lenses. And we had to wait. And, the bloke came and said, who's it for? And he said, oh yeah, Mr. Merchant, here they are. And as he was getting out to try and embarrass Steve, I went to him, they are the exact ones that Keanu Reeves uses in The Matrix, aren't they? he went, what? I went, no, I'm joking. But, yeah.
I'll tell you what frustrates me, can I just say, as a glasses wearer, this is just a note to everyone out there who isn't a glasses wearer, when people ask constantly to try on your glasses, can I try on your glasses, and they try them on, and they always say the same thing, oh, I can't see a thing! What were you expecting? X-ray vision? No.
Yeah, I know.
Don't ask. But if you're a glasses wearer, you don't want people asking to try on your glasses.
But I think they don't realise that-
What are you expecting?
By going, oh God, your eyesight's bad.
Yeah.
It's not like going, you know what I mean, it's not like saying, let's have a go with your calipers. Right,
no,
and popping them on and going, bloody hell, you can't walk very well.
But it's a form
it's
of disability,
like,
isn't it?
Well, yeah, but it's one that doesn't impair that much. It's an inconvenience that you maybe have to put glasses on all the time.
Did I mention the moth pit thing?
No, but it's not, yeah, but what's your vision? It's just blurred, is it?
No, I can't see anything. I mean, it's really bad.
Is it really bad?
Yeah, if I take my glasses off, you are just a blur. I see now, I can see nothing, it's just a couple of bald heads. And I know only one of you's bald, so...
You're looking at Carl twice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Alright.
Carl, it's your vision 2020.
Well, there you go, that's, Steve's eyes on XFM. Next week, Ricky's knees.
Bit of vinyl?
Yeah, now listen, I want to mention this. This is from this new Morrissey compilation. It's a new series, I'm assuming a number of different rock stars are going to do it. It's called Under the Influence, and various rock stars get to choose, yeah, obviously songs which they grew up listening to and that have influenced, yeah, them. And this is from Morrissey, he's the first person to do it. And there's some stuff on there which is a bit odd and a bit oddball, and there's some stuff which is good, and there's a Ramones on there, and Nico and Patti Smith, but this is one of them. He obviously, famously, Morrissey was a member, I think he was the president of the New York Dolls fan club in England, and this is from there, and this is Trash. The New York Dolls Trash from this new compilation Under the Influence compiled by Morrissey.
Are they the original punk band? 087-800-1234.
Well,
everyone
knows they are.
No, we don't.
So
we don't want your calls.
Everyone
knows
they are.
Don't call in. Don't call in.
Please. We're not interested.
No point.
Rick, it's 1:30.
Yeah.
Adverts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coldplay and the Scientist on XFM 104.9. Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant and Carl Pilkington. We saw an interesting sight on the way here, didn't we, Steve?
Yeah.
We came in, yesterday to,
to plan the show.
To plan the show, sure. Yeah. We actually annoyed Carl for half hour and left.
Yeah.
But a bloke with a completely tattooed face.
Mm. Actually, I don't know what stage you are in, at, you know, what stage you're at in your life when tattooing your own face It's a good
but
idea.
But this wasn't sort of like, you know, tribal or religious or anything. It was a bloke, just had a sort of tattoo on his forehead and around his eyes, professionally done. It looked quite old, so I don't know if tattoos do that now. I think they've probably got to watch themselves, but I just think
there's not rules about what you can tattoo. I'm assuming if you're a tattooist, you can do what you want. You can tattoo anything.
I wouldn't have thought. There's probably some comeback, isn't there? I mean, I certainly, you know, I think you've got to be sober. I think you've got to be over 20, well, I don't know,
right,
over something. And I wouldn't have thought many tattooists would tattoo someone's face. Would they?
Well, I don't know. Have you met tattooists? I mean, I don't want to slag them off, but they are like, you know.
I know why. They're big.
Well, exactly. And they've got needles.
A lot of them are big.
But they do seem like they live in the periphery of society, a lot of these
people. I just wouldn't tattoo someone's face, do you know what I mean?
You'd wrestle a man to the ground and then hurt your back, but no, you wouldn't tattoo someone.
No, I know. Does everyone ever regret it? I mean, I'm sure some people regret a tattoo. Whenever someone shows me a tattoo, I go, that's brilliant, because I can't bear to go, that's rubbish.
Yeah.
I just think that because they can't change it, there's no point.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think? I go, it's brilliant.
Well, I read in the paper, was it a man or a woman who had, just had Beckham on their on their arm? Just, not a picture of him, but the word Beckham tattooed on their arm, spelt wrong.
Oh,
they'd missed
God.
Out the K. Or maybe they missed out the C, so it was B-E-K-A-M.
Oh, no.
Anyway, it was just spelt wrong. I mean, firstly, why do you just have the name of David Beckham on your arm?
Home tattoos are the best, though.
Well, but doing it yourself.
That's done with a pin and a sort of some ink in prison. Like with skins.
Yeah.
It's sort of wonky because they've done it in a mirror.
Yeah.
What does that say? Well, read it. Tanuk. Yeah, I did it in a mirror.
Profanity.
Yeah.
Would you ever toy with a tattoo, Carl?
No, I mean, I've told you about me Uncle Stan before. I'm the tattoo Stan.
No.
He's just covered in them. It just looks a mess. Do you know what I mean? You can be wearing the best suit in the world, but you still look a scruff.
Sure, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Once you have it done,
some tattoos, you know, can be quite tasteful.
No, but he was covered. It was all, like, you know, cut here on his neck and... It's just, yeah, a mess. And he did a lot of his own. I've told you about him before.
Have you? I don't remember it.
Yeah, because I was saying, if you're going to do your own, at least make sure you're a good drawer.
Yeah.
It was just a mess. It was just sort of over the place.
What he'd done. He sort of doodled snakes around.
Yeah, and all his kids' names on his arms, and it's like, can't you remember them?
Yeah.
He might have had a lot.
No, he did.
Yeah.
And do you remember even from a young age thinking that looks rubbish?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it'll probably be about 60 now. I'd love to see what he looks like now.
Well, not,
just look at this. There was a story the other day in one of the magazines that I read about this fella who had a...
Well, it should be Bizarre or 14 Times then, one of the magazines you read.
Yeah.
So it's going to be...
It's not The Spectator.
No.
But this fella had a big eagle put on his back.
Yeah.
With a snake sort of covering it. And,
such rubbish, isn't it? This kind of symbols of sort of dynamism and life. Yeah,
I know.
A snake and an eagle.
Yeah, a large-breasted vampire woman riding a dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always a good one.
But, you know, this fella had that, and he had it in his will that when he dies, he wanted his son to have the skin taken off.
Oh, God.
And put in like a little frame.
Ugh.
Oh, God.
That's horrific.
What's that? That's my dad's back.
Yeah. Oh, are you sure?
God.
No. Because I read it and kind of thought, started having sort of memories of Auntie Nora again.
Yeah.
Because she used to always, like,
Now, Auntie Nora is the woman
who farted for 5 minutes.
She had wind for 5 minutes.
Sure.
Yeah.
But she also, she used to say, oh, Carl, rub me back. Right. And, with her being quite old, it was all sort of mouldy and warty.
It was mouldy?
No,
moldy.
Moldy. Right.
And what did you do?
I didn't like it. I hated it, in fact.
It was like reading a braille book.
Yeah.
It was like putting your hand in a load of Cocoa Pops.
Oh, dear.
All really big brown things. And I just thought framing hers would be sort of 3D-ish.
Oh,
right.
What's that, a chunk of the moon?
Yeah. Did you Artex that wall?
Yeah. That's Auntie Nora.
That's Auntie Nora's back. Oh, God.
Any piece of your body can't you leave behind?
That's disgusting. Putting your hand in some. Is she the one with the split tennis ball when she wasn't wearing knickers?
Shut up.
What?
No, let's not discuss the tennis ball.
Okay.
So, So she used to get you to sort of knead her dough on her back.
God, this is really bad.
But like, what, she with her dress or whatever. Or
well, she wore those sort of squid looking things. That old
sorry, what?
Those squid looking.
Hey, aren't Nora covered in octopuses? What are you talking about? What do you mean?
It's like it's like a nightgown type thing. But
what's squid got to do with it?
Because it sort of looked like a squid around the edge.
Oh, I know, frilly things. Yeah.
And she just say, I'm aching there. Oh. She was never well. She was never. Do you know what I mean? She's always had something wrong with her. I don't ask her how she is. It's just like, you know, she's not going to be all right.
Did she have wind when you were sort of neat? It must have been like playing an accordion.
Yeah, get a little tune going.
Wow. Oh, who's your auntie with the tattoos?
That's Hazel.
Oh, right. Let's
leave that.
Why?
Oh, let's
not talk
about.
What have I come across there?
What's up with
Auntie Hazel?
What's up with Auntie Hazel? There's nothing wrong with her. It's just a lesbian, which is nothing wrong with that.
Well, no, but you've made it sound like there is now by not wanting to say it. My aunt is a lesbian.
I know what you're saying, though. I know what you're getting at, just because I call her Uncle Hazel.
Play a record.
He's from Manchester. Please forgive him.
Lizzie, don't believe a word. XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais with me, Steve Merchant and Carl Pilkington.
Email here from Chris. He said he met a girl in Australia whose boyfriend tattooed her arm with the word psycho, except the spelling was wrong, and she ended up scarred for life with the word physco.
Physco.
Physco. I mean, a word of warning, if you're going out today to get a tattoo, they're tattooists.
Yeah.
English is probably not their speciality. So be careful. Write it down for them
you
first.
You are walking on thin ice. I've seen some of these boys. They're big.
Sure.
They're big.
No,
and if they're willing to stick lumps of metal through their faces.
True.
What are they going to do to you?
Well, yeah, indeed.
So, yeah. Steve, sorry. To all
the piercing, you see, I have a weird problem with the piercing as well. Because, I mean, the earrings, that makes sense.
I had earrings ages ago, but.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, but you're a man who knows about 18. Hates pain. And he's scared of everything.
It hurt. I was about 18, and I took two in one. And they did it right, and he just went, and I went, all right, I went, yeah. I just went, oh, God.
Did you have them in both earrings?
It's just, it was like a staple gun. I just went, yeah. And it didn't really hurt, and I thought, well, I'm not doing that again. It hurts too much, and it just throbbed.
Were you still living with your parents at the time?
No.
I mean, what do people- your kind of oiky Reading family, what would they have made of-
Oh, well, they know I had them afterwards, yeah. And
but did they take the mic?
Oh, God, of course they did, yeah.
Yeah.
Rick, you ain't going eight like that. Oh, sure. You'll get followed. Oh, look at you. Look at that.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. And when I was new romantic, my mum said, bloody hell, I thought I only had one girl.
Which is the earring? Because isn't it like one ear is for gay people and one is for straight people? Is that just a myth? Or
I don't know. It might
be something to do with which ear you had it in.
Yeah, there probably was sort of like signs for that. Yeah, it's like when you're growing up, I had loads like a white polo neck, right, and a ring on your little finger. That means you're gay.
Yeah.
Like you can see him coming.
Just consulting your little chart.
Exactly.
Hold on. White polo neck.
Yeah.
Those are the earrings in the left ear. I got it.
I don't know where I am.
Because wasn't there that thing that the famous cover of Born to Run?
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Where you didn't know the handkerchief. Yeah.
It was handkerchief even in the right hand pocket.
Dominant and was. Yeah, I don't know.
But, you know, where is this information? I wouldn't have known that. I might have gone around, you know, if it was hot weather, something to mop my brow, I wouldn't have known that. Can't the gay people kind of notify us? Can't we have some kind of website or something?
Do you still go to that pub with all those sort of, like, butch blokes?
Lovely guys.
With the moustaches and,
the caps, great guys.
A lot of them are firemen, a lot of them are, like, traffic cops.
Great people.
Do you know what I mean?
Fascinating people.
You're safe in there.
Yeah,
it also there's no women to... It's like you're just having a great time with the lads. And there's nothing... It's brilliant.
And pull stripped to your waist.
I can talk. My back's still hurt.
Okay, a little bit of hip hop. It's nice to have occasional hip hop tune, just keep it. You know, it's summer. You'll be cruising around in your open top Chevy.
Now, Steve, I see there it's a track by Little Kim, but how are you pronouncing it?
I'm pronouncing that correctly. Lil Kim.
Oh, no T's involved.
And it's The Jump Off featuring Mr. Cheeks. I don't know why I find that funny, but Mr. Cheeks is involved. If you can spot him, good luck. I believe that's Mr. Cheeks there. Just bust it on the mic. And that's called The Jump Off.
Talking of cheeks, Carl, have we got another instalment of Cheeky Freak of the Week this week?
Yeah.
Have we?
Excellent. Look forward to that. Is there some monkey news?
Goes without saying.
Of course.
Does it really? That monkey news is safe, isn't it? It's not like,
You're always going home with monkey news.
You know it's there.
Yeah.
It's like Songs of Praise on a Sunday.
When I came back, I've been on holiday for a week, and, I sort of sat in by the pool and stuff, and I sort of wrote...
about 40-minute stand-up with my new show, and I was going to the car. I said, "It's great when you get away. It's sort of like you're relaxing. You just think clearly." I know. He said, "I was away when I came up with Rockbusters."
Yeah, indeed, absolutely.
I was buzzing about writing 40 minutes of brand new stand-up.
Yeah,
he equated that to coming up with Rockbusters. Should I be insulted, Steve? Or is Rockbusters as good as everyone's saying it is? Is it the one good idea? Is it like E=MC²? Words to Einstein is to, you know, Rockbusters is to Carl.
What if I do this, Rick? What if I played you some adverts right now?
Yeah,
and then we came back with some Rockbusters.
Yeah.
You could make the judgment yourself.
Maybe I'll do Rockbusters and show people how easy it is to do it wrong.
Adverts, then Rockbusters.
And a cup of lovely coffee. I want a cup of coffee. Placebo, this picture, XFM. What's Carl doing? What's he rooting around
there? But listen, while he's doing that, can I just say happy birthday from all of us to Shan. Her friend Terry said play some Placebo for Shan's happy birthday.
That's done.
Cross that off the list.
Yeah, that's another thing we've got through
today. Rockbusters, please.
Do you want to look at the prizes?
I'll have a look at the prizes, see what people can win. It's an email-only competition, please remember that. All right, we've got the Later with Jules Holland Louder DVD. There's stuff on there from the Cardigans. Rollins is on there, Mercury Rev, Sonic Youth, the Datsuns, Queens of the Stone Age.
Hold on, wait a minute. They're all great bands, but I think they need a boogie-woogie piano at the top of everything they do.
Well, hopefully Jules Holland would have
helped. Okay, good. Because there was something missing there on most of those tunes.
Yeah, current album from Goldfrapp, that's there as well. What have we got there? On DVD, The Life of Mammals, the complete series of that. A couple of we've got the Inspiral Carpets again, a 3 CD set of the best of the Inspiral Carpets. I don't know how they strung it over 3 CDs. And the best one hit wonders in the world ever. And let me see.
Oh dear, a 3 CD set. The best of Inspiral. I'm struggling.
I'm assuming CD3 is just the Corals album. Anyway, there's some good things there. You've sourced some good stuff this week.
All right.
Here's your Rockbusters, yeah. All right.
Cryptic clue, couple of initials, and you sort that out. Right. First
what
one.
What was Dr. Fox on about that we don't sound like proper presenters? It's mad. Go on, Carl.
Right. The first one. A customer wanted some paint to darken up a room. Shop assistant knew what to do. Right. Customer wanted some paint to darken up a room. The shop assistant knew what to do. The initials there, CB. Right?
CB.
CB for the first one there. Right? Second one, it'd be alright if their heads weren't that big. Right?
And again?
It would be alright if their heads weren't that big. And that's SF.
Right? SF?
Yeah. And the last one.
I know that one. Yeah, go on.
And the last one, Chanel, I've got another perfume out. N-O. Right, Chanel, I've got another perfume out, N-O, you email in, ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk. That's that done.
And those prizes can be yours.
Yeah.
More music, please.
Bit of, Bob Marley.
Are any of these going to annoy me? Oh, I've got to stir it up.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Are any of these clues going to annoy me this week?
No, they're all good.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Alright.
Alright.
Yeah, we'll be the judge of that.
Alright.
ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk.
Brilliant.
Stir it up. Bob Marley on XFM 104.9. Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant, Carl Pilkington.
Wait, did you get up today and just see the great weather and think, do you know what, I'd love to hear some Stir It Up from Bob Marley?
Yeah, I did, actually. Well, I was going to play it the week before last, before I went away, and we didn't have time. So,
Well, we were crammed full of features, like this one.
Have we got a cheeky freak of the week?
Do you want one?
Yeah. I think we should have a jingle for this.
Okay, I've got a jingle. It's very similar to
Chimpanzee there.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear it.
Okay. Oh, cheeky freak of the week.
Brilliant. Yeah, no, I think that's excellent. So, cheeky freak of the week. You've spotted a
this
freak
is where, week. This is where somewhat, I think, offensively, you pick on someone who's not like other people and say it's your favourite freak of that week. Yeah, I remember we had the woman whose legs looked like the hind legs of a dog. We've had the little fella with the ageing disease with the little head playing the piano. That was your favourite. I think that's your probably freak of the year, isn't it?
It's a pretty good one.
So what's this? Is it a man with a horrendous injury, or is it a congenital birth defect, or what?
Yeah, but you put it like that, and now it sounds like I'm being tight. Sounds like I'm being out of order. But I'm just giving him a mention.
Just giving him a big shout out.
Right. There's quite a lot going on in the freak world.
There always is.
What have you been visiting hospitals the last week, have you, when we were away?
No, there was a thing on the website. This isn't even the one that I've picked, so...
So this is just a bonus?
This is a bonus freak.
Tease, yeah.
Yeah, go on then.
This is a free freak. Right? Yeah. It's a fella called the Lobster Man.
The Lobster Man, of course.
Again, good name, you know what you're gonna get.
Yeah.
What are you gonna get? Some succulent meat.
I like the idea that the vicar on the christening suggested that. I don't even want to call him Mark. Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Look at his hands.
What's his name? Mark Michael Webster. Right. Right.
Have you thought about a nickname?
Not really, no.
Have you looked at his hands?
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that because...
Do you know they look a little bit like lobsters?
Well, yeah, but it's quite deformed. It's like, you know, we
can't... Can I suggest Lobster Man?
That's terrible, Vicar. That is terrible, Vicar.
Pidgey.
Go on, then. We're going to see. This is what the sort of feature you come up with, Carl.
So, Lobster Man.
There's probably people listening now with, you know, lobster feet.
Right.
Lobster hands.
So,
Squid Boy.
So, Lobster Man, what does Lobster Man do? Does he fight crime?
Not that much.
Okay.
Apparently, he got into a bit of trouble. He was in a restaurant, and this was years ago, by the way.
And someone picked him to eat him.
No, so apparently the waiter said, "Oh, you shouldn't be sat here. You should be in my pan," or something.
Oh dear.
And they had a fight, got out of hand.
Yeah.
Got out of claw.
And so that was.
What do you mean they had a fight? What did he do? A waiter took the Mickey out of someone with.
No.
Now, can I just make clear, I'm assuming it's his hands look a bit like those of a lobster.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's fused, so it's just like two big fingers. They're fused, I assume, probably in the womb, and they're just like, instead of like having five digits, they're fused, and it... But, I mean, he can pick stuff up, can't he?
Yeah.
What does he pick up? He mainly eats crabs and jellyfish, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. So he was having a fight with the waiter, he snipped off his nose.
He just
held on to the waiter's bib.
Yeah.
And the waiter was screaming, "Go and get him off me."
Yeah.
So anyway.
Does he eat other lobsters? Does he think he would eat lobster? Or is it kind of. would he feel bad about eating lobster?
Right.
The little cheek of the freak that we've gone for, anyway.
The what?
The little freak of the week.
Yeah.
Cheeky freak of the week. Yeah. We've gone for this Siamese lad.
Okay.
Right. Happened back in.
You can't have a Siamese lad, can you?
Alright. Yeah. This Siamese twins happened back in 1693.
Oh, he's got a date! Blimey, that's the first time ever.
Yeah, and all it was, he was doing all right for himself. He used to go on the like those circus things he used to do.
They're two people you're talking about, Carl. So we're going to him.
All right then. All right.
They
did this circus show, right?
Yeah.
And everything's going well. They're selling out the tents and stuff, people coming to see them.
Yeah.
He was doing all right for himself.
Yeah.
Right?
Sorry, before I said that, did you think a Siamese twin was a man with two heads?
Well, it can be, can't it? It depends.
There's two people, they're conjoined.
No, but it depends, doesn't it? The one that I shown you in that book that time was a fellow with two heads.
No, it wasn't. That was a stupid picture in one of your stupid books that he had a growth that looked a little bit like it had a face on it. It wasn't a man with two heads. You're the same sort of people who send potato chips to Esther Ranson and say, "Doesn't it look like Norman Cook?"
Yeah.
It's not two heads.
We'll bin this feature.
No!
No, it's just...
They're two people. They're two people. Conjoined twins. Yeah. Right, so these...
They just happen to have a similar taste in clothes. Okay.
Anyway, so, they were doing all right, and it all went wrong when he crossed the road, got run over. The lad with two heads got run over. That's it.
What?! How is that Jiggy Freak of the Week?
Just because he got my interest, and I kind of thought, why didn't he just look both ways?
I'm intrigued to know.
Why wasn't he looking both ways?
I'm intrigued to know how you get run over. What was it, 1629?
Yeah. Well, it's horses and that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, why wasn't he looking both ways? Carl Pilkington, you are a genius. Play a record.
You fool. Well done, Carl. More Cheeky Freak of the Week next week.
See what's going on.
Okay, in the freak world.
Universally Speaking, Red Hot Chili Peppers on XFM 104.9. So, got a lot of rockbusters coming in.
Yeah, all right, actually. People obviously seem at long last to have tuned into your wavelength, Carl. Which is, of course, 104.9.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Exactly. Yeah.
Should we give the clues again, briefly?
We just have an email,
actually, to be honest with you, let's not, because we've already had a load of answers.
I know,
so,
yeah. You
know.
Oh, yeah.
If you didn't get it first time around, you don't deserve to win.
We had an email saying, because I've got a bad back, am I squeezing Carl's hair? Well, I've already had a little squeeze, didn't I, about half hour ago, didn't I?
Yeah.
You've just got to be careful, because I don't want any strain, so I'd say keep still, whatever happens, and you're right about there.
Could I have a squeeze, you know, just while you're not really kind of capable?
He's allowed to squeeze it, isn't he?
Because I've never squeezed it once.
Remember, sideways, temples go quite hard, but not too hard.
Yeah.
Front to back, go as hard as you like, because that's
all right, well, I'll just have a try now.
No,
you've got a bucket. He sorted it out. He says every Saturday between
I'm taking over from him because
let him have one squeeze. Let him have one squeeze.
So, the front and the back.
Get round. So, you've got, that's it. Right, now, use the thing at that.
Not too hard at the front?
No, really hard at the front and back.
There you go, yeah. You got the hang of it.
Oh,
right.
God, it's good fun. I know. You like it. Well, I'll just give you a side. It's great fun.
Yeah.
It's great, and you know, there's a little bit of, you know, grip there with the short hair, but obviously not too much, there's not much up there up top.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll be doing that again next week.
Do you know, I got a form, right? Do you know I'm staff here, right? I'm like, on the staff, one of the staff. Got some internal mail the other day. That you have to fill out about if you die at work, who gets your money. He says, do you put yourself at any danger?
what did you say?
Well, I asked Suzanne, I said, does that, you know,
head squeezing,
is that in
there? Oh, but my leg lock round your ribs that time, and I had it was like a little alligator, like a python and alligator, didn't I? You get quite some, you know, you get a little bit of leverage, you can crush a man's ribs with you.
Yeah.
With mighty legs.
Oh, something I want to ask you, Carl. There's that programme on now, I forget what it's called. Is it something like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner?
I did the non-broadcast pilot for that.
Right,
my mate was the, the Phil Belker was producing it. And I did it, you know.
And the premise of it is that it's one of those things about, you know, a conversation piece, the ultimate dinner party. I think you can have
six people,
guests.
Dead, alive, or fictional.
Or fictional, yeah.
You know, you choose where you want it, and, yeah.
And anyway, I was just intrigued to know what Carl's, ultimate dinner party, who would pop round? Any of your cheeky freaks?
So what's this? I'm putting on a...
You're putting on an imaginary dinner party.
Anne Robinson's there. She's got to be there. I said I didn't invite you. She said, well, I'm there anyway.
Yeah.
So it was actually me, Anne Robinson, and six people.
Yeah.
And I chose people like heroes, like Muhammad Ali, Homer Simpson, or stuff like that, you know, James Randi, yeah. So you could choose anyone.
Living or dead, fictional or otherwise.
Right.
Would it look like a circus from the 18th century?
I'll have like a few freaks in there.
Like what? Who would you have?
Well, the first person I'd have is probably have Elvis.
I had Elvis. I chose Elvis.
Why would you have Elvis?
He's just good, wasn't he? He was good at what he did.
Right. But once you'd said that to him, what would the rest of the conversation
be? I'd say sing us a song.
Right, so you make him sing a song.
Yeah, he'd be like the entertainment for the night.
Mm.
When he's not on the stage performing, I'd probably have the Elephant Man there.
Right. So John Merrick, yeah?
Yeah, John Merrick.
Okay, I've got Elvis, John Merrick. If anyone's out there and, you know, you haven't got anything to do, can you write down everything Carl says from now to a year and send it to me and Steve, because you might want to put it in a book?
Yes.
Would that be good? Just maybe someone keep a journal of everything Carl does and says, and we'll try and keep a scrapbook of pictures.
Tell you who I would have.
Who?
Peter Kay.
Right.
He'd be good, he'd be brilliant. I'd want to be sat next to him, because he's...
Well, you, I mean, you're friends with Ricky Gervais, why would you want to...
No, but... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Peter Kay.
All right,
Peter Kay.
Yeah.
Which one, would you do him as himself or one of his characters he does?
Just as he is.
Yeah.
He's funny, he's a funny man.
Yeah.
Love him. What else? Probably, that fella who lost his arm when he was climbing that mountain. Remember?
He had to cut off his
weeks ago.
Oh,
why would you have him?
I'd just like to have a chat with him and say, you know, what happened there then?
Yeah.
Well, we know what happened there. He cut his arm off. What would you say? Did it hurt? Yes, it hurt.
But I don't think it would hurt. That's one of the questions.
What are you talking about?
I reckon the shock cancelled any pain out. If you're stuck there with a boulder on your arm, you've probably got bad pins and needles, right?
Yeah.
With a big rock on your arm. Yeah. And you'd say, right, so how long were you sat there before you said, well, I've got to cut this off? Did you read about it? It was amazing.
What do you think the other people would be doing when you were talking about this bloke about cutting his own arm? John Merrick wouldn't mind. Elvis would probably be off his head on something.
Elephant Man will be having a couple of buns.
I hope Peter Kay didn't make a funny comment. I hope he doesn't make a funny comment.
Yeah.
Right?
Can I just a quick warning?
I'll just put bloke with one arm, bloke with-
Be careful, Carl, what you serve for dinner.
Yeah.
Cause he's only got the one arm.
Yeah.
So, you know, certain things. I mean, maybe suggest, something you can eat with chopsticks.
Or a hamburger.
A hamburger. But don't go with something like lobster. Tricky, you need both hands for that. And there's him and John Merrick teamed up. I think they've got one good arm each.
Yeah.
Soup, maybe.
What would you give John Merrick? Buns?
A couple of buns.
Mm-hmm.
That woman in the boat who went around the world.
Why?
To see, you know, how she managed
that. Pretty boring guests, really.
Hey?
But boring?
What do you mean boring?
What was she going to say? What she said was she was going, well, I didn't see a lot. I was in a cabin. Really? There's a lot of water. A lot of water. I was a bit scared.
The main thing I'd want to ask her, right, because I remember when she did it, and there was an interview with her, and her parents were there or something. And, her mum was saying how she's dead proud because, she decided to, you know, go around the world in a boat as a kid, instead of just hanging around on street corners and stuff. She said, she didn't want her daughter to, like, be messing about on the streets at night on her own and stuff. She was a responsible mother.
Yeah.
And she sent her off on a boat.
Sure.
In the middle of the Atlantic.
On her own.
Yeah.
So I'd like to ask her about
it. I think even Manchester's safer than that, innit?
Yeah. And I'd have, probably another woman, so to chat to her, probably go for, Kim Marsh.
Kim Marsh?
Sorry, you'd have the woman who sailed around the world, right, but you'd have to have another woman for her to have someone to talk to. Well, why invite either of them, then, if you don't want to talk to either of yourself?
I love this.
Round the world yachtswoman, round world yachtswoman, and Kim Marsh.
But why, of all the women you could invite, Kim Marsh is at the top of the list.
The best list I've ever heard. Elvis, John Merrick, Peter Kay, a bloke with one arm, the round the world yachtswoman, chatting to Kim Marsh. That is genius. Why haven't they invited you on this show? I'm gonna call Anne Robinson. Right, okay, if anyone's listening to that, have Carl Pilkington on. I know no one knows who he is yet, but what a great bit of conversation. Play a record, Carl, you're an idiot.
Some Smith.
Oh, always a treat. Yeah, we played something from Morris's selection. Something that would be on my ultimate compilation is something from the Smiths. and it'll probably be this one. I started something I couldn't finish up. I think that's one of their underrated albums, Rich. Strange Ways Here We Come.
Might be my favourite.
It's my favourite, certainly.
Yeah.
And that's from that album.
Queen is Dead is a lot of people's favourite, but I don't like the wacky ones on
Queen's Dead. It's got some great ones.
I think he's got some of his best tunes on there, but I don't know the Frankly Mr. Shank.
Yeah, he's always got this tendency to sort of like music hall style songs.
That's a great one, that. So there you go. Elvis, John Merrick, Peter Kay, bloke with one arm, woman who sailed around the world, Kim Marsh.
What I like about those two, numbers 4 and 5, he doesn't even know their names.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he'll just write on the invitation, dear bloke with one arm.
Yeah.
Having a dinner party.
Yeah. it's better than most, but I imagine most people when they do, as if they go, Nelson Mandela.
I know, of course, I think I read an interview with Mick Hucknall where it was something like, who do you admire? Nelson Mandela.
Brilliant. I don't read papers when I'm in this country. When I was, on holiday, I read one, and there was an article in there about Beckham meeting him. And the article was about how many people have met him. And I was thinking, we are the only three people that haven't met him.
Nelson Mandela, yeah.
It's just like, does he rent himself out? Do you know what I mean? It's like in the back of the stage where you can get a Caprice lookalike to wander around. They go, is that a lookalike? No, that's really him.
Yeah.
40 quid, he'll come to your party.
I think what it is that he was locked up for so long.
Yeah,
he's now just never home. He's just so short.
It's like Salman Rushdie, he's running around. I've seen him twice.
Yeah.
His house must be a tip. He's never in. God.
Well, I think it is if you stay indoors for a long time.
Yeah.
You've got to get out of there. You get a bit stir crazy,
I suppose.
But he's met some of the great names in world events. Obviously, he's met the Spice Girls. Alan Titchmarsh.
He's met him, yeah. They did his garden, didn't they?
Yeah. David Beckham.
Yeah. Oh, that must have been great. But I mean, maybe we could hold out and never meet him.
Yeah. Even if we
get invited to one of them, I go, no.
Yeah.
Not really.
We're the only three people who've never met Nelson Mandela.
I'm not meeting him until I make sure he's definitely going straight.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I don't
really.
I don't like to hang out with people who've done
No,
time.
Well, I wouldn't invite him to my ultimate dinner party in case, you know, the silverware went missing.
Oh!
Well, you don't know, he was inside for a long time. You know, they pick up things in these places. You can pick stuff up.
It's usually Carl that comes out with those sort of things. Carl, what do you think of that?
What, Nelson not having him around because he's nicking?
Well, let's back out now. Let's back out now while we're ahead.
Be good right. In, Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah.
Being used to being locked up and that.
He was good, wasn't he? Yeah.
I started something.
I couldn't finish.
Yeah. Let's-
Absolutely.
Should we play another record or should we talk about some on a lighter note, Muffy the Hamster had a narrow escape with a-
Play a song, let's have the Rockbusters answer.
Oh, God. Martina Topley-Bird, Need One. Alright, XFM 104.9. Well, it's that time. It's getting exciting, we've got Rockbusters results, but before that, a little bit of monkey news with- Oh! Chimpanzee that! Monkey news! Carl Pilkington.
Brilliant. Nice to have I read that for a couple of weeks.
Go on then.
Alright, so, is that this little monkey?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It lives in Morocco.
Right, I'll just warn you now, you're on thin ice from last time, okay? So, make sure, is this real?
It's been
Don't
emailing.
Say that you would think about it. As you're saying it, think to yourself, oh, is that true? Do monkeys do that? Do they think like that? So, go on then.
So anyway, yeah, so there's this magician in Morocco, right? Mm. He's got a little monkey working with him, mm-hmm. right? The way it used to work, magician used to do his thing on stage, do a little bit of magic, people loved it.
Yeah.
Then the monkey came out, had a little cap, walked around the crowd and stuff, got the money, had a good little team thing going on, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, the monkey's name was 86.
Right.
Because back then there were so many monkeys, it was like, oh, what names, do you know what I mean, what names do you use, what do you do, so they just like, named them, yeah. Right? So this little monkey-
What, well, he had 86 other monkeys? What?
No. It's just that because a lot of monkeys were sort of working back then, helping magicians out, you know, doing bits and pieces, busking, what have you. Just
well, Rick, you know how there's so
well,
many-
why would there be a confusion with that? If he only had one monkey, where's the confusion? People would go, oh, I'm not going to go and see that, I want to see 86, he's the better monkey. Do you know what I mean? What does it matter?
So I don't know what you mean.
Well, why do they need- where was the confusion? With people going to the circus and going, what monkey are you going to see tonight? I don't know. It wasn't a billing, was it, with a monkey?
But Rick, it's just the same with humans. You know, there's so many humans now that we can't give them names anymore.
Yeah,
they all
exactly.
have to have numbers.
Exactly, yeah. There's so many humans, you know, with 5 billion people. Like, we can't give them names. It's impossible. But, you know, with a few monkeys
anyway, number
working...
22, go on.
So, anyway. So, there he is.
86.
With his hat, walking around, getting the money.
Yeah.
Anyway, the magician sort of, you know, thinking about moving on. Because in Morocco, he'd sort of done all the tourist traps.
Sure.
So he had a word with the monkey, said, how about we,
See?
No, let him continue.
Think.
Let him continue.
He didn't have a word with the monkey.
Let him continue.
So what do you think about going over to Spain?
Yes.
God.
Sure. So, the monkey was in agreement?
So he said, all right, go on then. Right. So they get in the car, and, like, the magician knew he'd have a bit of a problem on his hands because you're not meant to take monkeys out of the country.
Yeah.
Right? So he thought, right, what I'll do, I'll get a car, right?
Right.
Stick the monkey in a boot, right? Get on the boat and hopefully sort of, you know, stick it in some luggage and what have you.
Yeah.
We'll be over there, we'll be earning big money,
sure.
Everything's gonna be great. So the monkey was like, brilliant. So they get in the car, they're on the way to the boat, and, pull over at a petrol station.
Uh-huh.
And, just before filling it up, he opens up the boot and he goes, yeah, all right, and then it's like, yeah, yeah, it's sound.
so
he leaves the boot open so it can breathe and get a bit of fresh air whilst it's filling up. Goes in to pay the money.
Yep.
Pays the money, goes, I'm just paying for the,
Right, this monkey is not going to drive away in that car, or we're never doing this feature again.
Carl, what happens? What's number 86 up to?
So, 86. So,
That's the ending, isn't it? That's the story.
Come on, let Carl
right,
finish the story.
Not be, it
brilliant,
not be.
Brilliant. You're gonna love it. Right, so he's in the petrol station, and he's going, right, I'll pay for, pump 4. And the fella says, what are you talking about?
Pump 4, isn't that a monkey? No. Sometimes I use numbers for monkeys, sometimes I use... No, I mean pump 4.
Sure.
Yeah, so he says, on. What are you talking about? There's no car at pump 4.
Right.
Keep going.
Sticks his head out of the door.
Yeah.
The monkey's given it some. Went over to Spain on its own.
I don't know what to do.
Well, hang on, let's just get a couple of the facts right here.
What do you mean, couple of the facts? Right, there are no facts.
So it number 86 drove to Spain.
You are honestly, Carl, you must know.
It was an automatic.
Right. How did he, how you did must he... know that is shit. There is no way a monkey
mad, that's the thing with his
feature. He gets stopped at customs.
It's mental.
How did he get through customs, Carl? Has he got a passport?
No, he was sneaking about because he didn't have a passport.
So he parked and then snuck through.
Do you want the facts?
Let me see it. Right, I'll examine this, Rick, and we'll play a record.
Play a record, because I can't, that's nearly as bad as the armed robbery. Right, go on. Yeah. Play a record.
A bit of suede.
Yeah, Stay Together. My favourite.
One of 86's favourites.
Yeah, brilliant. My favourite suede track. Right, Stay Together. XFM. Well, nearly time to go. But, before we do, a little bit of Rockbuster results.
Just checking some of the answers, Rick, and it seems that an awful lot of people have got it right.
Go on then, tell us them again then. Remind us of them before you give us the answers.
Alright, Rockbusters number one was like this, it was a cutlery.
We're stopping monkey news, by the way, until you start getting some credible ones. Because that's it's ridiculous. Mm. It's not true.
No, it seems mad.
But no, but it's from the internet again, so anyone can go online, download that story. It's insubstantial, it's... Get ones from journals or where the source is quoted, okay? Mm. Or we're not interested. Well, you don't.
Mm.
Okay? So, on thin ice. We've pulled this once, we've pulled Rockbusters, we suspended it once, mm. and you came back. Again. So it's, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So go on then.
Right, so Rockbusters number one was about a customer who wanted some paint. Wanted to darken up a room. The shop assistant knew what to do. What did she do? The initials were CB. Cella Black. Right? Cella Black. Cella some
you
black
see,
paint.
I thought Cella Black, because it's CB, and I thought, well, it can't be, because it's not Cella. It's not Sell Her Black.
Cryptic,
it's
cryptic, though, isn't it?
No, cryptic doesn't mean it's wrong.
They all got it. They all got it, anyway, so... It's a bit weird, isn't it? Second one. It would be all right if their heads weren't that big, right?
Right.
The initials are SF.
One of my favourite bands, yeah. Yeah. The smaller faces, isn't it?
Small faces.
Well, no, that doesn't make sense. Okay, go on then.
And the final one, Chanel have got another perfume out, right?
I'll just say, we've had an email from one of our listeners who said, if this turns out to be New Order, he's never listening to XFM again.
What's the clue again?
Chanel. I've got another perfume out. New odour.
Right, well that's another listener gone.
What do you mean? There's not a group called New Odour.
No, it's cryptic.
It's not- cryptic. That doesn't mean cryptic! Wrong doesn't mean cryptic! It's like saying what animal I'm thinking of. Frog. That doesn't mean cryptic. Sell Her Black. What artist is that? Small Faces works. Just about.
If I say what animal I'm thinking of, what am I
monkey.
Thinking? Well, there you go then. So it does work.
Play a record.
Right?
Play a record.
So, who's a winner?
Ah, yes. Now, I'm gonna give it to, someone who emailed in with the correct answer. and his name is Steve Martin.
Really?
And I've given- I don't know if you've noticed over the last few weeks, I've been giving the prize to people with just a kooky element to them, you know, if they've got
people
an amazing name.
Sending their name in, like, Barry Bumpfroyd.
Well, don't worry, because I can spot if it's a fake comedy name. Or
what was that last one we laughed at?
I can't
remember
what it was. I think it was Gerald something.
Yeah, it was. It was just like Gerald Smethurst or something.
Preston?
Gerald Preston. Yeah, why is that a funny name?
Jerry Preston, a great guy, but for
Gerald
some reason,
Preston, we laughed at that.
He caught my attention. So this week, Steve Martin's caught my attention.
Right. Yeah. When was the last time Steve Martin made you laugh?
This Steve Martin? Or
Dickers hasn't been...
Yeah, we've had no correspondence from Dickie Anderson for some time, which saddens me.
Little Dickmeister General, what is he doing out there? Has he got... What? He's got, like, he's got something better to do. Ridiculous.
Pathetic.
Right, well, that's the end, eh? We've got the last song, so is there anything
you want to say? It's the end of Rockbusters, and it's the end of Monkey News. Monkey News, I'll give you one more go for it, and it's gotta be credible, it's gotta be real, it's gotta be true.
We need to see your sources, it needs to be corroborated.
Okay. Rockbusters, they've got to be real band names. New Odour. New Odour. new odour. Just anything. Just brilliant.
Well done to Steve. He got them all. So. So is that it then?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well,
cheers.
I've enjoyed that. Hope your back's better, Rick.
Yeah.
And, Carl, I hope you, buck up your ideas.
Your brain's better.
Yeah.
Got something interesting about a brain. We'll can talk about it next
no,
week.
No, tell it now.
No, I'll
quickly, what is it?
No, no, we'll leave it.
Oh, like that's a hook. Like people will be going for a week. Oh, I wonder what things are with Carl's brain. Was it a brain that drove a motorbike across to Switzerland?
You've heard it.